But 4 weeks ago, I was training in Hamilton, and during the long training ride, I got hit by a car. But 4 weeks ago.
Welcome to the Athlete's Compass podcast. Each week, renowned sports scientist and founder of Athletica AI, Dr. Paul Larson, athlete, coach, and sports scientist Mariana Rakai, and coach and cyclist Paul Warlowski discuss training, racing, and improving your health and fitness. Get ready for your journey to peak performance. Hello and welcome to the Athlete's Compass podcast, where we navigate training, fitness, and health for everyday athletes. I'm Paul Warlowski. Today's episode is a special one. You'll hear Paul Larson's conversation with Luke Evans, the Toronto engineer who just won the inaugural Ironman Canada in Ottawa in 8 hours, 40 minutes, and 22 seconds, first to cross the line in the capital's first ever Ironman. We dig into what actually made the day, a smart swim plan into the current steady aero pacing onto the bike, and a brutally honest fueling lesson on the run. You'll also hear how Luke self-coaches with Athletica AI using load management, progressive intensity, and HRV-guided readiness to stack consistent weeks around a full-time job. If you're a coach or everyday athlete, this one's a blueprint you can steal. Links to the YouTube episode and the charts we reference are in the show notes. All right, let's get into Paul's interview with Luke Evans.
Honestly, it's a dream come true. I knew I was going to be in the running for this, but maybe top 15, top 20, but to finish first, and it's just surreal. Like I never believed this would happen. But I started this 5 years ago, just doing triathlons, and I only ever wanted to complete one. And it's just to progress to this, and now we win. It's incredible.
Some moment of your career, I haven't watched your stat. Was it the best race that you had ever done?
So far, yes, absolutely. Yeah, I've won a few earlier this year already, but this is my first Ironman, so nothing compares to an Ironman. It's wonderful. I mean, Ironman puts on a fantastic show. They do great courses, great support. Yeah, I got nothing bad to say about Ironman. I gotta sit down, sorry.
All right. I am here with Luke Evans. Luke, welcome to the podcast. Where did your love for sport even begin?
Okay, well, my love for sport, I guess it really started, I played hockey for about 15, 16 years growing up. So I learned to skate when I was, 3 or 4 years old, just like any other Canadian player. Played hockey when I was 5, 6, all the way up through the same organization, all the way up until the end of high school. But then through middle school and high school, I joined the swim team. And so I was just joined this, I swam for my middle school, swam for my high school, and more as a way to stay fit and healthy for hockey. Through there, I wasn't a good enough swimmer, never swam competitively outside of school, and I still wanted to do something in university. So my swim coach in high school then contacted the university I was going to, Carleton, and I joined the water polo team there because I wasn't necessarily good enough to join the swim team or compete at swimming. I kept playing hockey. So I was playing hockey about 4 or 5 times a week in different pickup leagues, different men's leagues. And that's when COVID hit. So as soon as COVID hit, everything shuts down. So I needed an outlet, needed to do something. I'd never ran as an athlete before, never really biked. I did do one lawn cycling ride when I was about 15 or 16, I think. But that was about it. I did that with no training. So then I had to learn how to run. And I think triathlon, I originally knew about triathlon. My parents did some local triathlons with Triathlon Canada or Multisport Canada back in 2004, 2005. I think my mom did an Olympic, a couple Olympics. My dad did a sprint or two. So I remember going to one of those races with our uncle supervising us when I was maybe 5 or 6 years old. And that's when I found out about triathlon. I knew of Ironman. I knew it was a ridiculous distance. In the back of my head, it's something I don't think I ever told anyone, but I really wanted to do an Ironman at some point in my life. but never thought of. I found the opportunity to really train for it, because you really have to do train for it. And so when COVID hit, I was lifting weights with my brother. I thought this would be the perfect time to learn how to run, because I had to learn how to run. I did not know how to run. I knew if you ran quickly and just started doing coach to 5K, you'll probably injure yourself. So my parents gave me this Learn to Run book, pretty much the 10-week program. And so I think after learning how to run, the goal of that summer was to do an Olympic distance, so do a 10K. So I wanted to run a 10K before the Olympic distance. And I think I ran my first 10K, not timed and not fast, but just to do the distance, about 4 months after I started running. So building up really, really slow to make sure I didn't injure myself. I was hoping COVID would pass like everyone else. and it didn't. So I was scheduled to do an Olympic distance in end of August 2020, and that didn't happen. So we have a cottage up north of Toronto. And so I just scheduled my own Olympic distance race. Just did it. I think the swim was roughly about 150 meters, 1.5K. The bike ended up being 42K on a very hilly course. And the run ended up being, I think, 10.5K. Again, did it by myself. Did it about 2 hours and 30 minutes. And on a road bike, because I didn't even own a tri bike at the time. So I was pretty happy with that. And at that time, that's when I registered. I realized, hey, I really want to do the Ironman thing. So I just registered for an Ironman anyway. And the first Ironman I registered was for Wisconsin in 2021. So then that's where I started learning how to train for Ironmans.
That's awesome. Keep going, man. You've really put the background in place, and it's, if I'm honest, it's nothing that special. And I think it's something that everyone kind of can relate to. Like, you really started from, with the exception of the swimming, you really, you know, you knew how to swim, and that's a challenging one for the everyday athlete when they're starting, right? They don't kind of always get that gift. So keep on going. So what happened in Wisconsin? This is 2021.
So
you said.
Wisconsin, I mean, I was training for Wisconsin. I was using a different app at the time for AI, because I didn't have a coach, and I was just learning how to train. And at that time, I didn't have a power meter. I just bought my first tri bike, I think that summer, with the help of my brother on Facebook Marketplace. And my goal, I think, based on some of the times, was I think I could do it in about 12 hours if everything went well. Some things, as you know, with Ironman racing, it never does go well. It never does go perfectly. But I think I did it in 10 hours and 50 minutes in Wisconsin, and then ended up coming third in my age group.
Wow.
In 10 hours and 50 minutes. So that's when I got the bug. And immediately after I did that, I signed up for Ironman Lake Placid in 2022. So raced Lake Placid in 2022. And in that one, just kept going. I bought a new set of carbon wheels that time to see if I could go a little bit faster. I realized the carbon wheels didn't fit the bike. It was too narrow in the fork. So I bought a new bike and sold the old one. And the bike I bought for Lake Placid is this bike I'm still riding today. And Lake Placid, then I went, I was 9:50 in Lake Placid, and was good enough that got me my first Kona slot. So there was two slots for that age group. The person who won the race was actually Matthew Marquardt. So was nowhere near his level at the time, but then someone else came second and I came third, and I knew I had the slot sitting in third place because Matthew had already claimed his slot earlier in the year, I think in Arizona. And actually the first time I ever met you was in September of 2022. So we had a phone call for about half an hour in September of 2022, just about the heat in Kona.
Yeah, I remember now. Yeah.
Then went to Kona in 2022. What was next? I was planning on taking about a year off Ironman because I was
too Ironman. How did Kona go before you? First Kona, okay. Right? It's okay. Want to get through you.
Kona's a tough race. So the swim was fine. I mean, for me, mostly the swim was fine. You get out of the water, had an okay bike, same time as Lake Placid on a slightly flatter course, but hotter. And then the run just felt like you kind of hobbled home. Yeah. So I think I ran just below a 4-hour marathon. Still proud to do it.
Totally.
Proud to do that Kona race. So I skipped a lot of the 2023 Ironmans and did some local races in Toronto and Ontario. So I did Gravenhurst one, which is where I'm always probably going to race an early season race in June. Did a half Ironman. I think I did 70.3 Muskoka, and I think I did Barrelman that year in Niagara Falls, which is a local half Ironman race run by Multisport Canada, in preparation for Ironman Arizona in 2023. So then got my second Kona slot. Actually, no, I didn't. Ironman Arizona, on the bike, about 80 kilometers in, I crashed at an aid station. So I think there was a bit of chaos at an aid station, as everyone knows. I swerved to avoid someone or a bottle and went over the handlebars, crashed my bike, scraped up all my elbows, my knees, was on the ground for about 9 minutes, just getting it all patched up. And then I went on to finish the race. It was probably one of the most painful rides I've ever done. Got on the run, and again, the run, it was pretty much all I could manage. I think I was just under a four-hour marathon. Can't remember the exact time, but it felt like I was just kind of hobbling my way around the course. What did I end up with? I think it was like a 9:28 or something.
Amazing.
Still pretty fast, yeah. But it was also a flat and fast course.
Yeah.
So while I was stationary. So I didn't get my Kona slot for that one. So I raced Texas in 2024 to go get that Kona slot. And that's where I got the Kona slot in Texas for 2024. Yeah, so Kona went pretty well, except for the very end. Had a record swim. I was in a front pack with most of the people who I wanted to. I got towed around the whole swim. I got towed to a 52-minute swim in Kona. Which is fantastic, and it didn't take much out of me at all because I was in a wedge kind of three rows back, which was beautiful. Jumped on the bike. I think I was third in my age group, second or third in a pack of about 10 on the bike, and put out okay power for me. But I think what happened was I put out my planned power for a normal Ironman race, and I didn't take into account the heat. And so my heart rate was about 167 to 170 for most of the Ironman bike, which is about 5 to 10 beats higher than it should be. And because of that, I had no energy. I also, what Christian Blumenfeld, would everyone seen of Christian Blumenfeld did that race? I did
yep.
the exact same thing. At about coming down up to Javi and coming back down from Javi, everything came out. And I couldn't get any food in. So it resulted in a pretty good bike split. I think it was about a 4 hours and 45 minute bike split in Kona. But coming off the bike, it means I had nothing in my stomach. I had no energy, no nothing. And so I ran the first 10K solid, but coming up Palani, I just lost it. And I had to walk up Palani, and I walked for the next about 15 to 18K. I think I walked to kilometer 27 from Palani.
Yeah.
Just because I couldn't do anything. That was my slowest marathon in about a 4:30 because you walked about 15 to 18K. So that's one of the reasons I really want to go back to Kona. I've had two okay races in Kona, but I can do that race better.
Yes, so, you can. Yeah, you can. Especially, and we especially know that now after probably the next race that you're going to get to, right? The most recent one.
Yeah. So exactly. So now I registered for Ironman Ottawa right before we left for Texas is when the registration opened. I got an email saying that they moved Ironman Canada to Ottawa, and immediately as they do that, I knew I had to do that race, and I registered immediately. I didn't care what the slots were, what the world championships were. It was in Ottawa. I'd spent 4 years of my life there. And the fact they have an Ironman and what felt like my second home, I just knew I had to do it. So I registered it immediately. And then just this was my A race for the whole year. I wasn't even registered for another Ironman. That wasn't the plan. This was the A race for the whole year. And I didn't know what I was going to do after this. So I trained for most of the winter. And it went mostly according to plan. There was a couple issues that we had. It went well. And I guess we can get into that race if that's what you want to do now.
Yeah, I do. You went tape to tape 8:40. So
yeah,
you're the overall winner.
That's cool. Cool to
in the race. That must have felt amazing.
Yes and no. Like, it feels amazing now. It didn't feel like amazing sometimes during the race.
Sure.
It just feels really cool to win one of these. I knew I could win. Like, it felt like in a non-pro event, it felt like I could win one of these at one point. I didn't think it would come this week or during this race. But going into the race, I've always been, as I've been going, getting better at these, in the top kind of 15 to top 30 of the leaderboard if I don't crash. So I knew I'd be this win with this race, I'd probably be in the top 10, I think, but didn't think I would win it necessarily. I knew it might have been possible, but I didn't think I'd actually do it. Going into the swim, I guess when they started the swim, I planned, because it's a rolling start, I planned to place myself about 4 to 5 rows back from the start on purpose, because I want to see a lot of the faster swimmers, of people who think they're fast, are just going to try and push themselves to the start. And I don't want to spend any energy on the swim if I don't have to. So I sit back from the start. I'm going to jump in the water, put my head up. Once we do take about 15 strokes and see who's moving, and I'm going to go get their feet. That's my goal. So I see who's swimming fast, and I'll do a hard 200 if I need to go find their feet. Especially going into this, I knew the swim was going to be hard because the course, you're going out and then you're going into the current. So my plan for the swim was basically to do an all out 2.5K and then coast home, right? You're going into the swim, you're going into the current. I want to put a gap into anyone if I can going into the current, if they can stay with me or maybe pull me through the current, and then we'll all just coast home together on the same gap. And especially the morning of, I saw where there was wind, it was very wavy too, and the wave was also the same direction as the current. So you're swimming in that loop into a current, into waves. And so using that plan, I saw everyone was swimming. I saw a couple people who I thought might be faster, started a couple rows behind them, tried to find their feet. And as I was swimming up to them, I swam a couple strokes at their pace, and it just wasn't the pace that I wanted to swim at. I wanted to go faster than what they were. And so I just said, okay, I'm just going to swim on my own. And so I passed them. And by the first turn boy, I had a couple body lengths on, I guess, the lead pack that was behind me, and then just didn't turn around. I just kept swimming my pace, that I wanted to swim at. It was a little, you felt like you were getting battered, but honestly, I felt fairly comfortable because what I was used to anyway. You're fighting a current, fighting the waves, and I didn't see them until the second turnaround. You turn both to do the full U-turn. And by the time I did finish the full U-turn, I looked back, and they were still kind of cutting across the box. So I thought I had at least a minute and a bit on them. And in that case, I knew with a lot of the bike power that I've been racing in Ontario right now, that I'm one of the stronger bikers in Ontario too. So at that point, halfway through the swim, as we're coming home on the swim, I knew it was going to come down to the run and see if anyone could come on the run. So I got on the bike.
It's finished. So what was the time? So what was the swim finish?
54 minutes, I think. 54 and change, 54 and a half.
Yep. Sounds about right. Yeah. And then now you're on the bike.
Now I'm on the bike. Quick transition, jump on the bike. Bike computer wasn't really working. I had no speed and no power. So I restarted my bike computer while I was climbing the first hill and finally got it going after about a kilometer and a half in. 3 or 4 Ks later, my main nutrition bottle, the way I was doing my nutrition today was I had 4 bottles on my bike, 1 aero bottle in the front, and a bottle in the front filled completely with carbs. And the carbs I'm using is pretty much straight maple syrup. And that's it. And then on the back of the bike, again, just more water and some electrolytes. So I can lose some of the electrolyte bottles or drink as much as I feel like I want. And just grab more water or electrolytes from the course. And as long as I don't lose or I make sure I drink out of that maple syrup bottle, I'll be good to go. But about 5K into the bike, that maple syrup bottle drops off the bike. So anyway, turn around, grab that bottle. I can't lose that bottle. So go on the bike. You're holding your power. And the first lap was just beautiful, right? I was a little worried more on the second lap, and I was starting to feel a little tired. Clearly, I'd pushed it a couple watts too high in the first lap, my watts were dropping a little bit lower than what my goal watts were to be on the second lap. And so I made sure to get a bunch of carbs in, and I think we'll talk about this later, but I might have taken too much at this point. Mm-hmm. I took a bunch of maple syrup, made sure I was fueled as much as I could. And then by the time I got to about kilometer, I think 120, 130, I started to feel a lot better then. And it's not like the watts came up anymore, but it started to feel easier and more comfortable to put them out. And so I was about back at where I wanted to stay at for the rest of the ride. Had another problem where I had another bottle drop off the back of the bike. And so that happened about kilometer 120. I still had a full bottle at the front and I still had my full nutrition bottle. So that's enough to get you through 70 kilometers or so with the aid station. So I knew I didn't really worry or didn't really care, to be honest, because if I grabbed a couple bottles at some aid stations, drank them. So I used drank them at the aid stations and then ditched them before the aid stations. Plus with the bottle that was a full liter at the front of my bike, I was actually going to be okay. So yeah, I was feeling okay coming off the bike. Had a quick transition.
What was your time once it was all done?
I think 4 hours and 28 minutes and a bit.
Yeah.
So it's funny. I got on, I think if I did everything properly and everything went well on the bike, I was putting up power at the beginning and I didn't have some bottle drops and issues, I probably could have gone 4:25, which is what Best Bike Split said it was going to be.
Nice.
So,
nice. That's pretty good.
Pretty much right on track. Quick transition and got on the run. And the run, my legs felt completely dead on the run, but they were moving. So I've done a lot of run training. That was one of the things where I was focusing on this whole year. I got a run coach and specifically a run coach who did track and field running and kind of 10K running to get my speed up. Because I have a pretty good engine. I don't have any speed. So my top end speed is fairly close to what my 10K and marathon pace. There's not a lot of difference between my 10K pace and my marathon pace.
Wow.
So I really needed to get my speed up and do that under load. And so what happened was I got running, my legs were really, really tired, but they were moving. They were moving at a pace that felt comfortable. So I went through the first kind of 10 to 12K, my legs were completely dead on something that honestly I wouldn't even do a walk around the house in, but they were moving at a pretty decent pace. And then the stomach started cramping. I've had issues with GI a lot in the past, and it's been a common thing where even if I went, there was a time period where even if I went for an easy 25 minute run, I couldn't go past 30 minutes without having to find a bathroom. And I've learned to run and deal with it because I've learned to run with the cramps, but it definitely slows you down. Like my pace, my goal pace was about 4:15. Because of the tired legs, it kind of dropped to about 4:20, so not that big of a difference. But as soon as you had the cramps, it was about 4:30, 4:40. And at some points, it was 5 minutes for a little bit. And as soon as I got back, went to the bathroom, got rid of everything, guess what? I'm back to 4:20s again.
Yeah.
So that's definitely something I'm going to have to deal with in the future and plan around.
Like, take us back to finding Athletica. And again, think about the everyday athlete as well. Like, how are you able to find Athletica? And I know you've mentioned you've had a run coach, you've done swimming and stuff in the past, but I've gone through your profile. There's a lot of sessions that are completed. Like you've got a lot of green on all of your sessions. So you are using the app.
Yeah, no, I use it religiously. The reason I started with another app beforehand, which wasn't necessarily as much detail or in depth. I think it's a phenomenal beginner app. But Athletica goes into much more detail and gives you much more insight than I think even a coach often can. So what I use Athletica for is a lot of load management and to know when I'm overworking myself or whether I could push a little more. Mm-hmm.
So how do you do that? Talk more about how, like, give the audience some insight if you can.
Athletica, it's incredibly simple to use. Once you set up your week, right? I know on Monday I often have a recovery ride, right? Which is the same thing. Tuesday's a strength workout, right? It's for me, it's about a two hour and 20 minute workout with three, four, or five times a longer effort at low cadence, right? So what Athletica does then is it'll tell me the duration of those intervals, right? And you can see through the build that the duration of the intervals will be longer, right? Versus the beginnings. So at the beginning, you'll do 3 times 8 minutes. But at the end, I'll be doing 5 times 12, right? And you can see it build. Whereas I'm working on my, if I was working on my own, I'd never know when to do that, right? Totally. So again, going through, you have your VO2 max. I typically do that bike ride on Wednesdays, right? At the beginning, when you're just building your base, sometimes it's as short as 2 times 5 30-30s, right? At the end, I was doing 4 times 10 30-30s at the same watts, right? So and even leading into race week, I think it was 3 times 8 or 3 times 9 30-30s, right? Because that's what your body's then used to. And then so then I more use the, it alternates than the long ride. I ignored it a little bit on the long ride, but took the workout part of it, because sometimes the long ride would tell me to do 2 hours or 3 hours, and sometimes it would tell me to do 5.5 hours. Mm. What I would do there is I only had about a 4-hour time period to do on every Saturday. So no matter what, I told myself leading into this year, sometimes I skipped the long rides in previous years. I told myself this year I'm doing a long ride every single Saturday, and it's going to be 4 hours. So every single Saturday, no matter what Athletica told me, I did 4 hours of work, but I did the work that Athletica told me. So if the work was 3 times 20 minutes at whatever power, or 2 times 40 minute race block, or you had your over unders typically with the 20 minute session, that's what I would do in the main workout block, and you adjust kind of the warm up and the cool down to suit the time that I had. But perfect. It still tells you the load and the main work that you need to do. So that's the way I followed it.
Nice.
The swimming, I kind of ignored a lot of the swimming because Athletica often wants you to do 3 to 4 swims a week. I was struggling to do 2 swims a week, and frankly, that doesn't really matter to me.
that's amazing. You did what you did. Like we let off with the swimming story that you went tape to tape.
Yeah, I would swim twice. I mean, when I swam, I swam with purpose, right?
Yeah.
So like my swims each week were, each swim was 3.5K. Often in long course, and often it was a kilometer and a half, sometimes 2K with paddles. It's strength, long endurance strength work swimming, very little speed in the swim, but a lot of technique and a lot of strength.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, because don't forget, you are an everyday athlete. You've got a full-time job. You're an engineer, right?
Yeah, I work over 40 hours a week most weeks as a consulting engineer.
And you were able to go 840 with doing that. That's incredible.
Yeah.
What does your employer think?
They're pretty happy with it. There's a post on LinkedIn about it. I think there was a CTV article or interview that they posted on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
I know a bunch of them were following on the Ironman Tracker. They're pretty happy with it. Yeah.
No, that's awesome. So, amazing. So Ironman Arizona is the next goal then, is it?
That's the next step, Ironman Arizona, to get a Kona slot.
That's so cool.
That's what we'll have to work towards.
Fantastic. Well, if I can help you with your nutrition strategy on that, I certainly will. So, and I just want to back up, from some of the stats in the stats are kind of supporting in your charts exactly sort of what you're saying in terms of the load management. The two key charts that show that, the first is your performance potential. Right. And that's in your charts in Athletica. And it's just, it just shows how consistent that you were, and that, there's this steady rise of fitness, theoretical fitness, in mm-hmm. terms that kind of goes up and then goes down a little bit because your freshness goes up towards the taper. So just perfect. And then the other one was your recovery profile, which is in there as well. So your HRV. And this again really shows that you are very well managed. Shows you're a little bit stressed right now at the end, but that's kind of to be expected. But everything shows just like this big, nice surge of, ultimately parasympathetic activity that's full recovery and adaptation energy ultimately.
Yeah, the HRV is pretty funny because it's when you manage it, the thing I try and manage is there's no way I can ever get eight hours of sleep in a night. Sometimes on the weekends you can do it, but I just can't do it. I more try and make sure I'm in bed for 8 hours a night. So whether I'm in bed, just at least lying there, I listen to podcasts when I fall asleep. Sometimes you can't get to sleep, but at least if you're in bed relaxing, that does help with the recovery. And I've learned that's the biggest thing. One time, there was a couple times I was leading into races and I wasn't prioritizing sleep. and I was only getting 6 hours just a couple years ago, and it really affects your racing. So you got to make sure, I make sure that I get a lot of sleep.
And I can really see that.
Yeah, the interesting thing is, I don't know if you can see that on the recovery or the performance potential one, but four weeks ago, I was training in Hamilton, and during the long training ride, I got hit by a car about 4 weeks ago.
Oh, wow.
And a car hit me, kind of sideswiped me, then hit me dead on. And I went over the handlebars of my bike, went over, like flipped over, and got a bunch of road rash. Luckily, there was nothing that came of it. I didn't break anything, didn't break my collarbone, had a bunch of problems with my elbows, so I couldn't ride aero position for about 3 weeks.
It right around June 18th or thereabouts?
July 5th was when the accident was. So you'll see there's a missing probably 2 days, July 6th and July 7th. I pretty much took easy and off. And then we were back on the bike then after that.
For sure. So you were actually recovered just prior to that with it form going up, and then it really goes up thereafter. Yeah. Like, and again, it's theoretical recovery. Yeah. And it's really going, your form is really going up thereafter.
Yeah. Because it's theoretical recovery, because I wasn't necessarily doing any exercise after that. Exactly. And I took that week is pretty much easy, or easier before I came back and did a long ride indoors, because I still couldn't ride outdoors for a week or two.
Yes. Wow. So that's even more remarkable. You know, so isn't it amazing that you were still able to perform as you did?
Yeah, I mean, considering what the injuries were, I'm not surprised that honestly nothing was really affected at the time. Yeah. But building in, that was my first worry, is I went to the hospital to get everything checked out. I was worried just about I landed on my elbows and my knee. And I was worried about the knee and the elbows, just some small cracks in the bone. Because mm-hmm. Of that, those were broken. There's no way I was going to be able to race.
I've been speaking to my wife about this and others in Athletica. And to be honest, I'm just like, I'm blown away that you've generally used Athletica to guide you. Notwithstanding the other, bells and whistles that you put on your program. But in general, you've used Athletica, an AI coach, to guide you to an overall win in a non-pro event in the world. To me, it's amazing. I can't believe it. It's kind of like, and almost like a dream come true as well for me. So thank you for doing what you've done. What do you, like, any comments on that? Like, does it, you know, it's surreal to me. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it's cool. I think what it's allowed me to do is just learn more about myself. So because I don't have a coach, my run coach is fantastic at doing running and learning about mainly running. But what Athletica is able to do is help me learn about my load and the load that I'm putting on my body, right? So it really helped me understand, because it has all these charts that, frankly, I understand a bit of, but not all of them, right? But they're easy to understand and easy to follow. So I don't know a lot of the science behind it, but I can see this graph and see where it's trending and see where it's going to be. And if I stick to the plan, that's hopefully where I'll end up, right? And so I know I can tweak things here or there depending on how I'm feeling. It's not going to impact the overall plan, but it'll impact my day-to-day a little bit. But as long as I stick to what the overall general plan is, it allows me to, I guess, understand this is how I'm feeling and learn that if I do one workout one way or one workout another, Athletica kind of takes that data and changes it and, I guess, tells me how, it gives me immediate feedback, tells me how I'm doing, right? And then you can take that feedback and internalize it and know how it impacts you. Because you can feel something, but it's tough to feel validated by whatever you're feeling without an external measure, right? So often, like when you're running, sometimes you're running and you feel like you're running fast. I get out of the door often the time and I'm running and I feel like I'm going quickly, but for me, it's actually 5-minute pace, which for me is not that quick, right? But I feel like I'm moving fast. That's because my legs haven't warmed up yet. So it's perceptive. It's kind of, it provides data and actual analytics to what, to verify what your body's feeling. And then it allows you to become more in tune with your body because you know how your body is reacting. Athletico is able to just like help you understand how things are working inside you and to verify what you're feeling.
So you say that it's giving you feedback and analytics. Like, can you be more specific? Like, where are you looking? Like, are you listening to the AI coach or what specifically?
A lot of it is the recovery and the performance potential that I look at most. So what I track is, I know if this is what's motivated me, to be honest, to keep me consistent, is that performance potential, right? Is that that's that graph. Because I know if I follow the workouts that are there, it's going to keep going up and you feel stronger. The progression in triathlon is so slow that it doesn't give you often immediate feedback. People want to do a couch to 5K and see that 5K time improve by training for 4 weeks. And it doesn't happen. It happens over years and years and years. And so if you provide a data point that allows people to see that graph go up and to the right, it keeps them motivated. So part of one of the reasons why I kept staying motivated with that performance potential graph allows me to see that it's keep going up. And the things that I'm doing when I'm supposed to be pushing up, it pushes it up. When I'm supposed to be keeping it flat, okay, good, it's actually staying flat. And if I do all these things during this week to keep it flat, it's supposed to be flat. And then during the taper, I want it to go down by this much. And Athletica will guide you to have it go down by this much so that you're becoming ready and have your form come up, right? And that way I know that I'm staying on track to do a performance that my body's incapable of.
Yeah. So really important question, because like, so where, because some people, like you said that Athletica is easy to understand, but not everyone agrees with that and they find it complex, right? And you said there's a lot of complexity and with some of the graphs, and we're really trying hard to simplify those sorts of things. But what would you say to the person that, you know, they want a little taste of what you've been able to achieve, but they're a little bit, you know, green around the edges in terms of getting into the platform and trying to understand it. Where would you say they should start?
That's one of the things about Athletica that might be hard for the beginner athlete, because to take full advantage of it, you need to have a heart rate monitor and some way to track data, right? So, and ideally have a smartwatch and be able to run and ride with. Power helps for sure in Athletica, not entirely necessary, but it really helps. So really to take full advantage of Athletica, you need to have a power meter, you need to have a pretty much a heart rate chest strap, because the watch ones aren't that accurate, and you need to have a running watch. And because of that barrier to entry, someone who's just starting triathlon, Athletica is not necessarily, I think, the best for the very, very beginner person.
Yeah.
Right? And yeah. So, but as soon as someone starts, does their first sprint, getting into it, and then learning, gets the bug, and wants to improve, without something like having that data, it's very hard to motivate yourself. To be honest, I don't know how people did triathlon in the 80s, where there's no power meter, they're running just with a Timex, and there's very little, there's no heart rate data really at all. You're just doing the feeling. Yeah, exactly.
That was me, bro. That was me. Right? The recipe was you just go hard and go long, go hard and go long.
Yeah, you just push yourself into your bed and you stop.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's training. Whereas now it's a lot more scientific. And so Athletica allows you to have that specific, prescribe specific intervals for what you need. That's what it does. And for someone who's starting, that's why I also think it's not necessarily necessary for someone who's specifically starting, maybe in the first couple months. Yeah. Because like, look what I did for the first couple months. To learn to run and to be able to use Athletica properly, you have to be able to run.
Yes,
and I couldn't run, right? Your standard couch to 5K program, just go run and walk for 1 minute, 1 minute on, 1 minute off for 20 minutes. And that's where you're starting. If you can't do that, you have no business using Athletica right now. But once you can do that, that's when you should join, and it'll take you to the next level.
Totally. And I will just highlight, we do have that. It's free for anyone that does just want to learn Couch to 5K. It's called the Athletica Kickstarter. 100% free online program, email program. And you do exactly what Luke recommends there. And it's just the emails you, you know, basically three times a week, almost identical prescription to what Luke.
Well, that's awesome, Paul. I didn't even know you had that.
Yeah, no, we do because
I did not know. I was going to. That was going to be one of my things to tell you. Like, if you don't have that, that's how you get people in the door to Athletica, because what I'm using it for is not obviously not that. It's a hell of a lot more data. Yeah, it's you need people to get in the door to go and do learn how to be, how to just move their body, right?
Absolutely, Hey, how much, if any, strength training did you do?
So, for what most people call strength training, I did zero.
Yeah.
And including when Athletica has 1 to 2 strength sessions a week.
Yeah.
About a year when I started Athletica, I would follow those to a T and do them. Now I don't do them at all. I use the time block to do them, but I'm dealing with a couple injuries that they're not, I wouldn't even call them injuries anymore, but it's more just managing them. So I use those as a time to do physio exercises or stretching or other stuff. So I don't listen to the exercises, even though I think the exercises are incredibly valuable because they help me at the beginning.
Awesome. Amazing. Well, we're grateful for the support, Luke. We're going to be continuing to follow you on your journey and continuing to do our best to try to help you to keep you on the role that you're on. It's pretty exciting watching you. Congratulations again, mate. And until the next time.
Perfect. Thank you very much, Paul.
Thanks for listening today to the Athlete's Compass podcast. Take a moment now, subscribe, share, and let's keep navigating this endurance adventure together. Improve your training with the science-based training platform Athletica and join the conversation at Athletica Forum. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed another episode of the Athlete's Compass podcast, your North Star through the sometimes complicated world of training for your endurance sport. We appreciate your comments and training questions and your 5-star reviews. For a deeper dive into the science of endurance sports, listen to the Training Science Podcast and check out the adaptive AI training platform athletica.ai. Thanks for listening.